Hey guys, welcome back to the bonus segment of the Tales of the Trade podcast from Amaya FM. Today we're bringing you some extras from our latest episode with Tom Arnold, founder of Bull & Brew. If you haven't had the chance to catch the episode yet, I highly recommend that you do. I'm Gaia, producer of Tales of the Trade, and I'll be your host for this segment. If you've been in Dubai long enough, you've witnessed the evolution of cafe culture in this city. We went from grabbing a coffee to go from big chain coffee shops to now spending most of our days in a cafe, faces buried behind our laptop and using it as a satellite space to ideate and conduct business. When you think about how this transition happened, Tom and Serge immediately pops up in your head as one of the pioneers in creating this urban, ultra-cool cafe vibe in the city. They set the stage in a way that brought about that I'm a regular at this cafe culture, one that the city was definitely starved for. Speaking of being a regular, our host Chirag is a permanent fixture at Common Grounds, one of the 7 brands that Bull & Brew operates in Dubai. So it was only fitting that I brought our inside source to give us the skinny.
Hey there, I'm here to give you the skinny today.
You're here to give the Okay, so anyone who knows you well enough knows that if you're off the grid and unreachable, we'll probably find you at Common Grounds. And it's pretty much your second home, like slash office, slash conference room, slash everything.
Yeah, it's one too many things. Yeah.
Yeah, so how has this relationship evolved?
Oh, it's evolved very well. I'm almost ready to find a new cafe now at this rate. Obviously, the fact that I go there a lot implies that it's been going really well. I think just about everybody now knows my name. You know, when I walk in, it's very conscious, and you can see that where they're always making sure to say hi by name. And, you know, I have a regular table that I sit at, so there's this, as soon as I start walking in, you'll see at least 3 staff heads turned towards my table to make sure it's free or just take a look at it, those kind of things, right?
So it's
small little gestures, yeah, but they do make a big difference.
It does feel really sort of intentional, doesn't it? The way that they remember you and remember the things that you order or where you sit, like these are not things that happen everywhere, so which means that it's very much intentional.
100%. It's also attention to detail, right? So that's how I see it. They actually take those 2 extra seconds to remember what I've asked them to change last time. So the next time I make that order, I get this. Like, it's almost like an AI thing. Like, you see that. I mean, you see computers doing that now, right? Where, like, they remember what you last ordered and be like, oh, do you want to order it like that again?
Yes.
And that's the question I get asked so many times when I've done something or I've tried something new. And it'll just be like, oh, so do you want it again without this, but instead, should I replace it with
that's
mushrooms?
That's amazing.
I used to eat the same thing every day for a very long time. When they would keep asking me, like, why do you keep eating this? And I said, well, you know, this is the reason I like it. And
they're like, why are you so boring?
Yeah, why are you so boring?
Why must you be so boring? Yeah.
So it's that kind of stuff, yeah.
Okay. Since you know everything about Bull & Brew and all these awesome things that they continuously do and they're surprising their customers and all of these things, let's talk about Brunswick. So I remember going there when it was still a sports bar. It had a certain kind of vibe at that point. And it wasn't exactly, it was more of a guy place. Let's just say that. And suddenly, maybe like a couple of months later when I went back, I felt like I was in the middle of like a Williamsburg bar in like Brooklyn, you know? It had completely transformed.
So it was really funny because I was there, I think it was a Saturday. We went for a movie and stopped at Brunswick to get a drink. I was there for maybe half an hour. And then I think the following Monday, or maybe it was Tuesday, Tom's Instagram was full of these pictures of like very
this
different...
gorgeous, moody bar.
Right. And my first thought was he was sharing concept pictures.
Right.
Because he was tagging Brunswick and I'm like, well, I was there on Saturday. It doesn't look like this. So I think he's sort of sneak peeking what's to come.
Yeah.
But then the more pictures he kept posting, I'm like, that looks very real.
Somebody's actually sitting on that
right.
chair.
I actually told the staff, I'm like, hey, I'm just leaving my stuff here. I'll be back in a second. I walked over to Brunswick to go and take a look. And it was a completely different place. Like, all of that happened, I think, inside about 2 days.
Wow. It literally happened overnight.
Right. And so as soon as I walked in, I was greeted by the GM of Brunswick. His name is Mateo Padilla. Just started talking with him because I was like, what happened here? Because it was just disbelief for me. So I caught up with him again just now to kind of, you know, look back at that, all those changes and how they kind of pulled it off. And a lot of it happened internally, right?
Teamwork makes the dream work.
Yeah, well, sure.
Tom got back from London and he was really inspired by a lot of restaurants that he went to. And then he came to us and said, look, we're going to morph the restaurant a little bit, change it up. He heard, I can't remember what place it was, but he heard a couple songs that really inspired him. And it was this Zamrock type music, which is kind of really edgy and like 70s type stuff. Wanted to put a little more edge to the restaurant, give it some character. And we listened to it in the meeting. And at first I was like, what is this, you know? But and then over and over hearing it again, it's like you kind of got what he was looking for. The concepts were already getting in our head. Like he had our graphic designer come up the next day with images of what it would look like. And we're just like, let's do it. We have like a group chat. We sent out the message, you know, we need people down here. Guys were getting off shifts on Tom and Serge and literally coming right over and painting all this stuff up. That was just really like going on holiday to Bali. And I was like almost like, wow, man, like wanting to stay and finish, you know? And like normally you wouldn't get that. Here it was really cool to put your fingerprint, you know? Like I told Tom we should all sign the wall or something like that, you know? Because it was really a team effort. I haven't painted a wall pink ever in my life, but it was a first time for everything, but it was really cool. We had a great time.
Yeah, incidentally, that's also when I asked Tom to come on the show. It was that day because I walked in, I was having this long chat with Mateo and Tom was like sitting just reviewing everything. And so I kind of walked up to him and I said, hey, look, I mean, we know we are kind of doing this. And he kind of knew who I was, not by name though.
But you're always there.
Yeah, he was like, I've seen you around. Yeah, that incidentally happened on that day over the summer. And
I think for me, like when we had the conversation with Tom, one of the things that kept coming back to me, it's something that I'm very cognizant of. You never know how many things are going on behind the scenes to make something happen. I love this quote that's like, it takes 10 years to become an overnight success. And this idea that you put in so much work and what people see is the result. But when we talked to him and we really went through his story, it's magnificent, his journey of like how young he started and where he's come today.
Yeah, and stuff like conceptualizing or thinking about opening your own place like at 18.
Having that clarity of thought.
Yeah, but then, you know, how many years it takes to execute, to learn those skills. I mean, obviously, as he himself has said, right, like he struggled when he was apprenticing for Shannon Bennett, right? It wasn't the easiest thing, and it isn't. We all know that, right?
We've watched MasterChef. We know how we know how hard it is.
But yeah, and you know, we've had friends who've tried that out and did how taxing it is. Everything that's happening today with Tom and Serge and Bull and Roo and everything is an accumulation of all of that together.
Absolutely.
It's not, of course, we're sitting here thinking like they turned that around in 2 days, but reality is that they were able to turn it around 2 days because of the last 4 or 5 years of the stuff they've put together at Bull and Roo, but then Tom himself, like the decade before that, that he was sitting and honing those skills and figuring out like what works. I mean, you visited these cafes and all that, right? Like, did you go to Tom and Serge when they first opened?
Oh my God, yeah. I mean, I think when Tom and Serge happened, I was still doing a lot of work in Alcoz. But you do the work in Alcoz and then you leave to go somewhere else to grab a coffee or to, you know, you go into a mall or something like that. When Tom and Serge opened, it was like, oh my God, what is this super cool place? You know, it closes at like 4 or 5 or something. So you have to get in there before it closes and have that coffee. But when you went in there, it was like this, they used the warehouse in such a different way. The fact that, you know, there were like 2 floors and there was chalkboard graffiti and there was such a cool vibe in there, which hadn't ever happened in the city before. So
yeah, that street side vibe kind of thing, right? Like you're walking past the
place.
We're
like, Dubai's getting cool, you know? It was, you travel and you see that sort of cafe culture in other cities and you really, you know, you miss that when you come back to your city. But then this started to happen. You're like, okay, I can get behind this. This is awesome. It was the first place that I actually sent a personal thank you note to the chef because I went there for a breakfast once and I had the shakshuka, which was amazing. And I don't know, it was like, you know, you go to restaurants and you have a great like culinary experience. You're like, that was great, but you don't think to like have that connection or say, okay, maybe the chef should know.
So why did you do it here versus?
I think I just felt really comfortable. And first of all, it's an open kitchen, so I could literally see them cooking. I just felt so good and the staff had made me feel so happy. And I don't know, just there was something about it. I was like, could you please send this note to the chef? And my friend at the time was like, do you flirt with all the chefs? You know? But I don't know, there was just something in the air. Like it just made you feel really comfortable. And it's always stayed with me. I haven't done that since, actually. I knew at that point, this is the start of something really cool. Like I know more and more places are going to open like this. So,
and I mean, even Tom mentions that too. Like I have never felt like I haven't ordered enough or that I'm sitting there too long or anything.
I also always end up having conversations about like hair color, tattoos, things like that that I wouldn't normally have in a restaurant because, you know, you just feel like you can be friends or something with the staff.
I have had many friends either come to see me there or I've just taken friends there because we're in the mall and, you know, I want to go there. And I've had friends who'd be like, hang on one second, I need to go tell the waiter that, like, you know, her tattoo is awesome.
Exactly.
You know, or like, oh, hang on, I'm going to go have a word with the chef because, again, it's open kitchen. I'm just going to go say hi. So
it's this personal, it builds these like conversations. There's such a delineation between the customer normally. Like, no, there's no personal connection. And because they hire people that you could be friends with, you kind of suddenly want to talk and have those, and you feel like you're a part of a community, which is really hard to achieve, and they do it beautifully.
And that's, again, something that I was also, when I spoke to Matteo recently about that, that's something that I wanted to kind of understand. So he's been working with Bull & Runa for about 6 months, right? So he's a recent entrant into the fold. And I thought that that was really interesting because I wanted to get a sense of, like, he's walking into the product that we're talking about on the show, right? And kind of get a sense of what it was like for him the last 6 months have been. And Brunswick has gone through this major change during that time as well.
Everyone who was super supportive, Anita, Alex from Tom and Serge, you know, these guys all came and literally, you know, showed me the ropes and were always there when I needed them. Tom was there on my first day when I got there to introduce himself and show me around. And it's been really a great experience for me. It's been a lot of learning because this is something that I want to do on my own, eventually open up my own place. And to see the process that he's gone through and how things work with him has been quite amazing. And to sit down and just see how the interaction is with the staff and new developments come along and how you implement those things. So, but the thing is always being adaptable. That's what Tom's taught us, is that if something's not working, you can't be afraid to scrap it and move forward. Or if something's not the way exactly how you want it, it's all right, you know, because you learn from these things. And it's not often, if ever, for me, that you get the managing director, the MD, like, literally so hands-on, you know, and have him in the venue so much, knowing all the staff by name, things like that, which is really cool, you know.
To be able to successfully pass on that sort of infectious, you know, spirit to do and create awesome things and to pioneer, to be able to pass that on to your staff and pass that on to the people who come with you to help them get that bug as well to do awesome things is in itself such a feat.
When we go and hire our people, we really look for people who want to have a career in this industry and who want to beat me, for example, or who want to, like, you know, figure out how they're going to go and be the next entrepreneur that's going to change something within a city or something. And because of the fact we've got so many different brands, so much variety in our menu, so many different types of cuisine, you really can learn so many different skills within our company that I want it to be to a point where people can work for 3-4 years and feel like they've done a university degree in a way, and they leave us being an absolute gun. And then they can go and do whatever they want in their life. And I think we're getting to a point like that, and I'm pretty proud of that.
To get a glowing review as a boss is not easy. Tom's approach to molding his staff and giving them a platform to grow within the company is a leadership style that is truly inspiring and frankly makes me want to put in an application today. We hope that this bonus episode gave you some food for thought and left you feeling as inspired as we are. Thank you for listening and tune in on November 6th for a brand new episode of Tales of the Trade. You can subscribe to us in Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and Angami as well. Just search for Tales of the Trade wherever you like to listen. So many tales to be told, so many stories to be shared. So pull up a chair and join the conversation.